Find your text tonight in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. When you found your place, if you would please stand. We drove through a big old tar pit, if you will, in construction, got tar all over my car. And I had to go out and I had to get some tar remover and clean it. And I got to thinking as I was cleaning it about how one day I was covered in the tar of sin and I had to go get the remover of the blood of Jesus. On August 3rd, 2010, He come by and washed me white as snow, and I'm thankful for that today. You can find in your text in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verses, we'll start in verse 16. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done for me, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, God, to preach your word once again, God. Lord, I pray today, God, that you take this message, God, and deliver it to your people, Lord, in the manner that you want it delivered, God. I pray, Lord, that it wouldn't be my words, but your words that would be here spoken today, God. I pray, God, Lord, that you'd open the ears of your people here today, God, Lord, that they would hear your word, God, and accept your word, God, and that they may apply it to their lives, God, in their everyday walk. And we pray this all in your name, in Jesus' name, amen. Y'all may be seated. So here, I'm really looking here at verse 19. I think of how verse 19 says, do not quench the spirit. My title of my message today would be getting the kinks out, if you will. The metaphor here of quench, it means to extinguish, to stifle, to retard, or as it's translated here in the Bible, if you have a King James Bible, which I hope you do, it says to quench. And we see that the Holy Spirit throughout the whole Bible is depicted as fire. We see in the book of Acts in chapter 2, we're doing a study of Acts in my Sunday school class. I'm teaching the high school Sunday school class, and we're going through the book of Acts. And I think about chapter 2, how it says that the Spirit of God came upon the church, and the appearance of the Spirit was as cloven tongues of fire. So we also know that the Spirit of God is seen in a number of places in the Bible as fire. In fact, you remember that in Paul's letter to Timothy, he told him, kindle afresh the gift of the Spirit that is in you. In other words, he's saying the fire is there, throw some more wood on it, don't put it out. And then I get to thinking a little bit about how the Spirit can also be grieved. We know in Ephesians chapter number 4, you can turn there if you want to, but the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 4 in verse number 30, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So the Holy Spirit can be grieved. It can also be resisted. We know this in Acts chapter number 7. I'm going to turn there. You can turn there too if you would like to. It says in Acts number 7 in verse 51, it says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. And so you might be thinking right now, you might be thinking, well, what's the difference between quenching the Holy Spirit and grieving the Holy Spirit? Well, quenching is what you do, and grieving is what he does. You can quench his spirit, and when you quench his spirit, he's going to grieve because of what you did to him. And the spirit is not a it today. The spirit is very much a he. He is part of the triad of God. He's we got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost here today. And so I'd ask of you, please do not quench the spirit today, and do not grieve the Spirit, because you do one, you're going to do the other every time. So you might be thinking now, what's the Holy Spirit's work, or how do we quench it? We know that Jesus promised to us before he was going to the cross, he promised to us that he would send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he said that the Holy Spirit is going to come after I ascend to the Father. I'll send the Holy Spirit, and he will assume the role with you that I have had. He, the Holy Spirit, the member of the Trinity, as I just said, he's going to fulfill the role that Jesus had to the people or to the disciples as well. So the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came and fulfilled what Jesus had promised to us. And it's always good to get to see Jesus' promises being fulfilled, because we know one day he's going to come back and he's going to return. That was a promise. So we look back at other promises that he's made and they've been fulfilled. So we know that that promise that he's coming back will be fulfilled one day. So we know that the Holy Spirit came, and so that promise was fulfilled. And now we know that every believer, when you believe on Christ, when you call upon the name of Christ and you're saved, you don't get saved by baptism, you get saved by calling on the name of Jesus today. But when you call on Jesus, the Holy Spirit will come inside of you and live in your heart if you give place to him. And he's not to be quenched today. But yet, in our lives, we try to fight it. Even though we say we're good Christians, we fight it every day. We fight the Spirit. I brought an example here today. I brought a water hose. In this water hose, I said the title of the message was Get the Kinks Out. So when I think of grieving the Spirit or quenching the Spirit, I think of kinking the Spirit. We know that a water hose, you plug it up into your faucet, and then it'll come right out the other end. And I think of the faucet, I think of God has a faucet in heaven, and he just put it right up there, and his Spirit just flows right out onto earth. But yet, as Christians, a lot of times, God's wanting to do something, and we just do this, to where his Spirit can't flow like it once did. You know, you might be thinking, okay, so how do I quench the Spirit? Well, you know, today, I would like to tell you that when you start relying on worldly things instead of godly things, you're going to quench the Spirit today. If you're not using your spiritual gift that you have, everybody has a spiritual gift, whether you say, I ain't gifted or not. Everybody has a spiritual gift. Your gift may be singing. Your gift may be preaching. Your gift may be testifying. Your gift may be crying. Your gift may be shouting. But God has given every one of us a spiritual gift. And it's our place to find out what our spiritual gifts are. But if you are not using your spiritual gifts that God gave you, you're quenching his Spirit and you're kinking his hose from doing his work. Then we start thinking a little bit more. We rely on scheduling. You know, on Sunday morning, you kind of want to get out of here at 12 o'clock so you can get down and go out and eat, because the line won't be as long. But when you start relying on scheduling and getting out of church, you're quenching his Spirit, because you're no longer allowing time for him to move. You're not allowing time for him to work, if you will. A lot of churches, they'll have even in their bulletin, they'll have what the schedule is. They'll say 11 o'clock, the choir's going to get up. At 11:10, we're going to have special singing. At 11:30, the preacher's going to preach. And at 12 o'clock, the preacher's going to let us out. You can't put a time limit on God today. He is everlasting, and he's going to do what he wants. Because if you try to put a schedule, you're kinking his will. And then at other times, I start thinking about not doing what the Spirit would have you to do. Maybe you are supposed to get up and testify, and when you're not, you're quenching the Spirit. You know, I get to thinking about this fella. We was at a church, and this fella, I mean, the church, it was moving. The Spirit was moving. People up testifying. I was actually fixing to get up and testify myself. And this fella jumped up, and he started rebuking the people, telling them what they were doing wrong. And I sat back down. All he did was kink the Spirit and quench it from moving. Somebody could have got saved that night. I don't know. But he kinked it up, and that's on his hands. Y'all, I don't want to have blood on my hands for kinking up the Spirit from doing what he would have to do. Maybe you have sin in your life. I don't know what your sin is. God didn't tell me what your sin is. He just told me to come down here and tell you, don't kink my Spirit no more. Get the sin out of your life so that I can work, so I can move. You know, I get to thinking a little bit more about maybe you're not in agreement with others. A while back here, I preached about the armor of God and how the chest piece of righteousness and all the other defense mechanisms. But it never talks about a backing on that, on any of the armor of God. Because your Christian friends are supposed to have your back. But yet we try to fight each other. And we try to be mad at one another. Maybe this section over here is mad at this section over here. And that causes a big stir in the church, because somebody gets up to testify over here. And this person over here is like, Yeah, whatever. And all you're doing is kinking the spirit, because whatever this person could be saying over here, it would help you a lot if you just get over it, and it might be a blessing to you today. And then I'd like to say, maybe we're trying to manufacture the spirit. You know, a lot of churches, they'll get up and they'll sing about 50 songs, trying just to get a move of the spirit to go. But it ain't a move of the spirit, it's a move of man. God cannot be manufactured. Man can only make man-made things. You cannot make God do anything. God will do what he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. He created the earth. Man did not create the earth. There was no big bang or nothing. God did it because he said he was going to do it, and he did it. And then I get to thinking a little bit more. I get to thinking about, maybe you don't have a heart for the lost. God help if you don't have a heart for the lost. Y'all, as Christians, it should be our well-being to have a heart for the lost, that others might be saved. You know, if you don't have a heart for the lost, why even come to church, you know? If we weren't supposed to have a heart for the lost, then after we get saved, we might as well just die, because there's nothing else to do. We're here for a purpose, to spread God's word so others might be saved, that they can go to heaven and spend eternity with us. That should be our goal. Maybe you have a lack of faith today and you're kinking the spirit because you don't have the faith that you once had. A lot of times people, they'll lose their faith when they get diagnosed with a sickness or something and they're not healed. But really, it ain't healing that you need, because one of these days everybody's going to die, and that's your real healing, is when you go on to be with Jesus, because there's no more sickness, no more pain, no more death in heaven. And that's the healing that you need. So stop having a lack of faith and stop quenching the spirit. And then I get to thinking, maybe you're quenching the spirit by greed. Maybe if you just gave a couple extra dollars, God would have used that for a purpose. Like we're fixing to take a youth trip at my church. You know, if somebody would have not gave, we wouldn't be able to go. Lives would not be able to be changed in our church if people wouldn't have gave. You got to have a heart for these things. You got to stop being greedy, you know. And I get to thinking, maybe you're not paying attention to what the Lord is kind of wanting to do. You know, I get to thinking, we used to have a choir leader at our church. He would get up here and he'd lead the choir and everything. Special singing come, and he'd sit there and he'd watch, and he'd listen. And then when Dad come up to the pulpit, this old fella would sit in the very back row, and he'd sit in the very back row and open up a newspaper and just sit back. I remember that in my childhood. Could you imagine just seeing as a child somebody reading the newspaper while your dad's trying to preach and trying to spread the word? And you know what he was doing that whole time? He was kinking the spirit from moving. Y'all, we got to pay attention. We got to get over ourselves, get over our pride, so that the Lord can start doing what he wants to do. You want to see souls saved. You want to see your church grow. You're thinking, well, we got a big church. Why does it need to grow? Maybe it don't need to grow as people, but it needs to grow spiritually. You need to grow spiritually in the Lord. If you want to see the powerful hand of the Lord in your life, in your church, then quench not the spirit. Do what he tells you to do. If y'all would stand to your feet, Pastor, if you'd come.
Luke, we appreciate that. What a lesson. How often do we? It's a good lesson, what we can accomplish if we just follow him. So well put, Brother Luke. Appreciate that so much. Brother Randy, have a song the Lord put on your heart. Altars open always. God may have moved in your heart, told you something maybe you were doing or wasn't doing, how you react, and how you maybe disregard what God wants you to do. And I'm sure it happens a lot in churches, that sometimes somebody else, you got something against them, and maybe they were wrong, and maybe they wasn't wrong. Maybe you're wrong by having that against them and not forgiving them, but they testify or whatever, and exactly right, happens. But the question is, have we ever done that? God help us. Luke, that was fabulous. Thank you, my brother. What song we have? Altars open and growing in the grace of the Lord. That's what it's all about. We won't grow unless we follow him. And a lot of times we want to follow him, but we then get in the way of him. He leads us a certain direction, and we say, oh, yeah, we got it now. And then we get in the way of the Lord. That's what the Spirit. We appreciate that so very much.